That is very distracting, having something recording you when you're speaking. It may fall off there, actually, if I keep rocking it. Right, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It's interesting the pastor talked, are we not guaranteed tomorrow? I'm going to be speaking about time. So if you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it's in the first 8 verses. And as we read through it, let's pray the Lord will open our hearts to what he's trying to tell us this evening. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. Pray the Lord will add his blessing, the reading of his holy and precious word. We're just going to go through each one of those separately, and we can apply them to ourselves, but we can apply them to the world as a whole when we look at it. But it's the way the Lord is speaking to us about time, that there are limitations on us, and one of them is time. And in the first verse, it says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Everything is planned in the counsel of God. We are currently in winter. When we look outside, it's cold tonight. And God has so ordained the movement and the orbit of the planets that as we speak, we are heading for spring and then summer. Plants and animals are preparing for the lighter, warmer months. God has appointed a time for everything, even our death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We talked about that young man, Blake Smith, and it's been confirmed that his life is gone. And yet he's safe at home now with our Lord in heaven. I've never met him. I don't know who he is. I do know he's a brother in Christ. And he's saved. And one day I'll meet him in heaven. But of course for his family it must be absolutely devastating. And yet for each one of us, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Any one of us could walk out and get hit by a bus tonight or something terrible could happen. I think one of the saddest things is when you go around various places and you see bunches of flowers tied against lampposts. I think there's one by St. Catherine's Church by the cross in there. Somebody died there some time ago, and regularly somebody comes along and puts a new bunch of flowers there, remembering the death of a loved one. When I go up to Bronwith Pool swimming, there's a bench at the back, and if you go and have a look at that bench, there's always a wreath or a bunch of flowers on it, and they're always fresh. And there's a plaque on there, and when I looked into it, it was because a young boy, he was only a youngster, he died on that spot years ago. I think it was due to drugs, but he was only a youngster, and his parents obviously devastated. They can't leave go, and they go there regular to remember the loved one. And again, on the way up to Porth, I think on the side of the road there, you regularly see flowers, and I think they actually put a cross in the ground as well, remembering where loved ones were lost. And one last one, which is right up on top of the mountain, overlooking, I think it's just up by the old tip, as you look over down to Blaen Llechau, there's always flowers there, remembering Dad, it says, or somebody lost their father up there on the hill. And that's the truth of it. There is a time and purpose under heaven to everything. Everything is planned by God. And we're currently in winter, but we know that summer is on its way. In my garden at the moment, I can see the buds just coming up now, slowly pushing up, and the daffodils will appear. The snowdrops will be there. I haven't got snowdrops, but they... somebody else's garden has got them. But they're pushing up slowly. And then the tulips will come, and you will start walking around. The lambs will be there. And it's just lovely to see this order of things which God has in this country, perhaps in particular, I know a lot of countries don't experience the seasons as we do, perhaps not in the way that we do, is such a stark contrast between them. And it's a wonderful thing to see, and a time to every purpose under heaven. And in verse 2 it says, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. We are born into this world, and really it's not a world for the idle. The ground can be hard and the seas can be rough, but to get food it has to be worked. You have to work the land. And I was watching some programs on cod fishermen going out into the North Atlantic, and it's absolutely horrendous when you see the waves they have to contend with, storm force, hurricane force winds. It's interesting when you listen to, I listen to fishing forecast, although the forecast sometimes I'm up late, and I like to listen to it. If I don't get in the night, I'll pick it up in the morning. And when you hear the forecaster say storm force winds or force 10 storm, whatever it is, then they say violent storm 11, and just occasionally they say hurricane force 12, and they are the seas around our nation, and yet there are fishermen going out in the most horrendous weather just to catch fish. And you know, the planet is there, but it's not easy. If you're idle, you can starve. Now, mechanization has obviously made it much easier, but when you look at God's judgments for the future, it may well mean returning to the manual ways of the past. You don't work, you don't eat, or you shall have bread by the sweat of your face, because we know God's judgment, when they pour out, are going to devastate this planet. You know, as I said before, you'd be lucky to have running water in your homes. Hopefully we won't be around at that point during tribulation. Well, not hopefully, I know I won't, because the Lord would have taken me. But the world will return to an age previous to mechanization. You won't be able to get petrol. Electricity, I think, will be a thing of the past. It'll be back to candle power. That's if we can get candles. So the world is one of those contrary places. It can go from one thing to another very, very quickly. Overnight, despots can come in and take over countries and start ruling countries. And whereas countries were fairly free countries, they then become ruled by potentates who are absolutely brutal. And you can certainly see that in the Middle East as they've taken over. And to some extent, you can see it happening in Turkey now. Erdogan is quite a brutal person who will put down any freedom of speech, really, that goes against him. And there are a lot of world leaders who don't like people saying things against them, and they immediately take to Twitter and start calling names back and forth. But the world will return to a different age, in my opinion. I watched the film. It was a very interesting film. I hadn't seen it before, and it really got me thinking about time and how we value time and how we waste time and how we shouldn't waste time. I don't know if you've seen the film, but every person on planet is given 25 years to live. After 25 years, a timer starts, which is built under their arm here, and it starts counting down. I think they get about 52 days. After that time, when it hits zero, they die like that. And they all sort of have a heart attack and they just drop dead. And it was showing people, and they're all sort of 25 years of age, a lot of the people, a lot of young people, but they don't age at that point. They all sort of look young or whatever, but they've got 52 days. Now, they can increase their days if they want to by working. So they go off to work and say they work 10 hours a day. They get an extra day, which is accredited to them. Now, that they don't get many people falling in sick, as you can imagine, because their time is constantly counting down. They buy goods when they go supermarket shopping or whatever. They go in, they put all their goods in the trolley, they go to the checkout, and instead of charging money, they say, that's going to come to 4 hours and 25 minutes. And they put their arm against the thing and they subtracted 4 hours, 25 minutes. If they want to go somewhere on public transport, like a bus journey, they can go in and it says for this journey it's 1 hour of time. So they take an hour off them. Now, the interesting thing is, it's a very clever film. They actually had missions as well, and charities, which were there. And people who had a little bit more time than others would give to these charities. They'd give their time to it. Above 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, and lots of people. And there were people queuing outside, waiting, because their clock was running down to the second where they could die. And the charity would open and it would come up time. And people would be there and they'd quickly charge them up, giving them an hour or 2 hours here and there and everywhere. So they'd have that extra bit of time to try and find, do a good job and get more time. And it was quite interesting when the charity ran out of time, the sign changed to out of time, and outside people would die because they just didn't have enough time. The entire world economy was based on it. And just like you have billionaires in this, you know, in this planet now, you had time billionaires, people who had hundreds, thousands of years stacked away. And it's amazing how they were still hoarding it. Nothing changes. It's very clever. They were hoarding that time. And one guy had a little box hidden in a big safe. And when they looked in, he said, "That was my first million days," or something like that, he said, "that I made." And he was keeping it. It was a very good story how it all worked. And I like the way they worked it out. You had your wealthy. And, of course, the wealthy controlled the economy. So you'd go in one day to pick up a loaf of bread, and it would cost 10 minutes. You go in the next day, and they put the price up to 20 minutes. So people who only had a little bit of time left could very easily die of starvation because they couldn't afford the bread. And it makes you start thinking about time and our time and what we do with it. And you sit there and you think, what have I done today? Okay, I've done this, I've done that, prepared a message. I pulled my back out in the garden, trying to, which caused more time to be wasted because I had lots of things to do and suddenly I couldn't do it anymore. Best laid plans go astray, as they say. And our time is limited. We are going to die. We've already been given an appointed time. It's already written down. At some stage, we are going to die. Time to the Lord is nothing. He holds it in his hand. And one day, time will be no more. He'll close his hand, crush it, throw it away. Time will be no more. An example, I think, is given that a day to the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. When you look at it like that, it was just a couple of days ago that his son went to the cross. So it's just, in fact, we're into the third day. Significance of that, I don't know. If you look at it as over 2,000 years ago, we're now in the third day. So who knows what that means. But carrying on in this, it says a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. All through Earth's history, there have been many conflicts, and not just wars between nations, even within families themselves. There's been times when brothers and fathers turn against each other. It's when trust is lost. Perhaps children want things and parent can't afford it, and the child gets quite nasty about it. Or other things come into the home which shouldn't be there, and you get this breakup. When trust is lost, drugs in particular in families rips them apart because those on drugs start stealing from their own families to feed their habits. Homes and nations and churches can be broken apart. You just look around Wales at the ruined castles and empty churches and the conflicts they endured over the centuries. How many churches closed due to the internal fighting amongst the members? Many people think, oh, they closed down, they just lost their membership. That's what, you know, the membership grew old and that was the end of it. That's probably true in some cases, but in many cases, churches were decimated because of internal conflicts within them. And really, these things ought not to be. If the Lord is put first and his judgments and the Bible is the basis and the foundation of all decisions which are made within a church, then churches should thrive. You know, it's a joy to have a men's meeting here in this church. But the honour and glory goes to God that he sustained this church over the last 100 years or so. And we'll be having a new building. That's according to God's plan. If, you know, if it comes about, then that's going to be the Lord's plan. And this is where we say it's a time to build. We have a church that has been blessed by the Lord. And we are looking forward to a new building. Should the Lord tarry with us? The Lord could come at any time, of course, and take us home. Next one is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Well, a time to weep. Obviously, we've mentioned Pastor updated us with the news of the young lad, Blake Smith. And sadly, this young man has lost his life. He's gone home to be with the Lord. Circumstances, we don't really know. We just got little bits of evidence. Doesn't appear to be robbery when you look at what was left. So something else has gone on there. Normally, you would say maybe it was related to drugs, but the truth is they'd taken anything of any value to sell to buy more drugs, so it probably wasn't related to that. We can only speculate, and I'm sure the police will do their duty and find out what went wrong there. But the family will be absolutely devastated by what a wonderful witness they are being at the minute. Now, even though they've lost their son, as a Christian, we know he is safe in glory. And we all have these moments in our lives when the tears will flow at the loss of loved ones, loss of dear friends, and just circumstances which come about as you get older. You know, the tears are going to flow, and they can be very sad times. But at the same time, there are times to laugh as well. When all is well and we have the joy of the Lord, yes, we can laugh and dance as happy moments happen in our lives. Now, I don't know, when did you all dance last? Dad dancing. Well, I'm sure when you get to glory, you will be dancing. You'll be rejoicing. David danced. I thought his wife was very happy about it. David danced. I look forward to seeing Andrew dancing in the streets in heaven. That'll be great. I'll get it right as well. But you know, there are going to be moments, certainly in the future, certainly when we get home to glory, well, we will be absolutely full of joy. We'll know nothing else but the joy of the Lord within us. And God has blessed us with these emotions for a reason. And the Lord Jesus himself had these emotions within him. He knew everything that we go through. And the thing about emotions, they can take us from one extreme to the other. But the truth is, they are of the Lord. Our emotions are of the Lord. This is what he's blessed us with and bestowed us with. We shouldn't be ashamed of our emotions. Sometimes our emotions can save us from all sorts of things if we listen to them. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to cast away stones, it's like taking down the barriers between us. At the moment, we know walls are being built in various places. We know Israel has built a wall, quite rightly, I think, to protect themselves. And they gathered the stones together to build that wall to protect themselves from all sorts of terrorist activity and to keep the Palestinians at bay. But one day, those walls will come down. The Lord will come back. There will be peace out there, and there'll be no need for those walls. And that'll be an absolute time of rejoicing, I'm sure. So there is a time when we do build barriers and we put them up and we build walls and we gather the stones together. I know Donald Trump at the moment wants to build his wall between themselves and Mexico. I don't know whether that comes about or whether it come about. Mexico are going to pay for it, so they probably won't if they go pay for it. But the truth is, at some stage, even those walls will come down and they will embrace one another. And it may be that we'll have to wait until the Lord returns. But we'll also be able to embrace as well. And wouldn't it be wonderful to see the brothers, effectively, half-brothers of the Arab and the Jew coming together and embracing one another. And I think that's going to be true in many cases. I think what people don't understand is the argument that goes on is effectively a family argument. You had the two sons of Abraham, Ishmael and Isaac, and they're fighting each other, but they're half-brothers, effectively. It's a family argument. But one day, and I think the scripture indicates this, in many cases, those brothers will embrace one another again, and they will come back together. And this is when all things are good and going well between us. And then we got a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. During our lives, we'll gather many possessions, be it cars, our homes. We'll have all sorts of things. Some we will lose through clumsiness and robbery, or we drop things on the floor. You know, I dropped a Ming vase the other day. It was gutted. It was shocking. I dropped a Ming vase the other day. Did you honestly think I had a Ming vase? Yeah. Do you not think I would drop it? No, but through clumsiness and robbery, others we would get rid of because they're worn out or outdated. How many would replace their iPhones this year? And no, because they're outdated, or they want to update to an Android device to something decent. You know, there's people out there who are constantly chucking their iPhones away because they want a decent phone. But we will sure lose everything at death. Praise the Lord, there'll be no iPhones in heaven. There'll be Android, obviously, but no iPhones there. What was I saying about them being dropped accidentally? But most things have a natural lifespan, and they last for so long. And the truth is, we will lose them. But at death, we leave everything behind. We don't take anything with us. We came from dust, and we go back to dust. But praise the Lord, if we know the Lord, we go on home to glory. And the next one, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to rend garments, as we know from Scripture, is usually a time of grief for people. They will rend their clothes because of some devastating news, loss of a loved one, or something terrible has happened to a nation, and people rend their clothes, and usually sackcloth and ashes. Maybe they'll go to pray to the Lord, and they'll ask the Lord to overrule. But then when that time of grief is over, they will sew things back together again. They will make the garment right again so they can wear it, or they'll make no good new garments. A wise man knows when to keep his own counsel, and a righteous man knows when to speak out for the salvation of others and the glory of God. And to remain silent in those circumstances will be betraying the cause of righteousness itself. We have a job to tell people that they're on the way to a lost eternity. We shouldn't waste time in doing so. And sometimes I think we hesitate when we shouldn't hesitate. I remember going to see a lady who I used to work with. She was in the Cottage Hospital. And she was ill. She had cancer. She was dying. And I'd witnessed her for years when I was working with her. And I give her lots of tracts. So she was certainly aware of the situation. But I went to see her. And I asked the nurses, is it okay? And she said, yes, I'll go in and check now. And all the family were there as well, gathered around the bed. And I went in, and she seemed to me in fine spirits. She was sitting up, and she was quite cheerful and laughing. And I went in, and I had a chat with her, and I said, you know, we are praying for you. But I didn't get to the point. I think it's because the intensity of the situation, the family were there, of actually asking her if she knew the Lord as a saviour. And to this day, I regret that, because she died that night. And I think, okay, I know I witnessed to her for years on end, but it was that last moment when perhaps I should have had a word in season, or at that last moment of time when I should have spoken to her. And that I do regret. I say she died. I think her funeral, she's a Roman Catholic background. But I get depressed then when they choose that Life of Brian song, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. I hate that song, and they play it at funerals. And I think if she didn't know the Lord, there's not going to be any brightness. She's gone to a lost eternity where there's the darkness, the blackness is there. And it's an awful feeling then. And really, we should use our time wisely when it comes to witnessing and telling people of the Lord. And sometimes, you know, we should pick up on things. We got to step out in faith and just take that opportunity, however awkward it may be. Because what's the worst that's going to happen to us? You know, if somebody, you know, turned around and killed us, you know, the worst that could happen is we go to home a bit earlier. But even then, maybe that's our appointed time. So we don't know. And of course, we should also let our answer be yay or nay. Sometimes it's no good getting into arguments over things. We just simply say yes or no to things and not go into arguments about things which really can be very trivial. And lastly, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. attempt to love and show ourselves friendly. For a man to have a friend, he must appear friendly. And sometimes we're perhaps not as friendly as we could be. I remember David Shepherd telling the story. He was in the pulpit, and he was in one church, he said, and he looked at the deacons, and there they all were. Like they'd just been chewing lemons, and they were all scowling like this. And he was there, and he said, "Oh dear," he said, "you know, it was, I felt like I shouldn't be there, because they were all so miserable looking, scowling looking deacons." But, you know, probably a very godly church, I don't know. But it does seem to be, maybe it's something in the past that people have to be quite miserable. You know, it's almost, it was wrong to smile and laugh and things like that. And I think it was talking to Henry of Einant that in the churches out in Holland, they can be very, very strict, and they all wear dark clothing, and they shouldn't really smile or approach or speak to the pastor or anything like that. And I think if you don't enjoy coming to church, and if people are not friendly when you come to church, it's not going to be an enjoyable experience. You won't want to come back. And it's just nice when you come into a church and there's a smile on someone's face, and you know, they say, "Can I sit for you? You know, have a seat." And this sort of thing, you've got to be friendly to people. And I remember even in this church, I won't mention who it was years ago, but a couple came in. They were strangers to the church. And they sat down, and a member came in. She said, "You're in my seat," she said. "You're in my seat." And you just went, "It's not what you want." It's not like we weren't short of seats or something. We had plenty of seats there. But no, and they apologized for up and moved. And I thought, why did you do that? You know, you should know better. But, you know, that's the way it was. A time to love and show ourselves friendly. For a man to have a friend, he must or she must appear friendly. We can create a pleasant and a happy atmosphere by our attitude to others. But there may also be a time to hate and to cut off those who have been friendly with us if their actions have been unjust and threatening or draw us into a behaviour which is not glorifying to God. And I think that is very possible with some people. You can run well with them as friends, but they start going down the wrong path and they try to take you with them. And then they start accusing you of all sorts of things. And at that point, yes, I know hate is a strong word, but this is what the scripture says. And we mustn't do anything which really threatens our communication with the Lord or our Christian witness, because that in itself could lead others down the wrong path as well. At this point in time, we live in relative peace in this country. And we are in a time of peace, I suppose. I know we have forces which are still active throughout the world and in different countries. But throughout the world, there are wars taking place, particularly in the Middle East. And when you see the atrocities which are going on out there, they are using chemical weapons, possibly biological weapons as well. The most horrific weapons of really are mass destruction if they were widely dispersed. And people don't seem to care, and you think, why isn't man's inhumanity to man? It's quite brutal. And these are times of war. But as Christians, we've got a wonderful time of peace coming, eternal peace at home in glory. That's if you know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. If you don't know him, and the Lord should come tonight, and there's no reason why he shouldn't come tonight, then if you are left behind, what's left is going to be the most appalling, atrocious time you could possibly imagine, as God's wrath is poured out upon the earth, as the Antichrist takes precedence on earth and starts going throughout the world and imposing his will on people, and the mark of the beast and all that is going to happen. It's going to be an horrific time. And I don't understand sometimes why people who may come under the sound of the gospel can't see it coming towards them. And yet, for some reason, they don't accept the Lord Jesus. It's really important because it's so personal. It's between you and the Lord. Your salvation is. No one can come between that. It's a one-to-one relationship, personal to you, and that's what saves you. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus, I would always say, don't delay. Now is the time of thy salvation. Put your faith and trust in his name. There is going to come a time when the Lord will reign supreme Hebrew prophet, priest and king. And that's a wonderful future time that we can look forward together. And I look forward to being with you. Although I don't want Gary living next to me. He's trouble. There we are. Well, thank you for listening. You've been very good. I don't know if Pastor, you've got anything you want to say. I'll just switch this contraption off.